Welcome to the Bardcast. It's Shakespeare, you dick. We are your hosts. I am Lisa Ann Goldsmith.
And I am Owen Thompson.
And today's episode is Foolish Shakespeare. Now, we don't mean when, like, Shakespeare did dumb shit. We mean the fools and the clowns in Shakespeare plays.
Yeah, we're not even really necessarily talking about foolish people in Shakespeare, of which there are many.
Plenty.
We're not even talking necessarily in the vein of, Lord, what fools these mortals be. But more specifically about the characters who are specifically delineated as fools or clowns or who fall into that category.
That's right. And there is only one character that is actually called fool in Shakespeare.
Yes, there's only that there are several characters that are called clown.
Some but that you is, might not know of, dear listener, because they're probably cut most of the time.
That certainly is true. That is true. Yeah. Oh, my God. I mean, and some that you must cut, like the clown in Othello.
Yes,
but when we refer, that's the point. When you refer to the clown in Othello, we're not just, it isn't a character whose name happens to be, you know, Jerkface McCoy, the clown. It's clown is that character's name.
That's right.
Although Jerkface McCoy would be a good name.
I like
and
Jerkface
if it occurred in
McCoy.
Othello, I would have to leave that character in.
That's right. So I think the first thing we should talk about is the difference between a clown and a fool.
Absolutely.
Right. So I think, well, certainly there's a difference in dress, right? Like the fool was officially, right, like working for the court. He wore a motley a lot of times or, you know, multicolored doublet and hose with the arms of the house to which he belonged. And, you know, he wore his headdress, which everybody knows, with the little kind of like tails with bells on them and that kind of thing. You know, in fact, Jacques and As You Like It says, you know, oh, that I were a fool. I am ambitious for a motley coat.
Yeah. So fool is a jester, basically.
That's right. That's
and
right.
A fool is an official position, whether it be the king's jester or in Feste's case, Count Olivia's jester. Noblemen and women and kings and queens had servants who had that position. So that's when Shakespeare uses that word that way, that's usually what it means as distinguished from a clown.
That's right. In fact, if I may, Viola has a wonderful passage where she talks about Feste, right? Like she talks about the requirements that one would need to be a court fool. And she says in Act 3, Scene 1, she says, this fellow's wise enough to play the fool, and to do that well craves a kind of wit. He must observe their mood on whom he jests, the quality of persons and the time, and, like the haggard, check at every feather that comes before his eye. This is a practice as full of labor as a wise man's art. For folly that he wisely shows is fit, but wise men, folly fallen, quite taint their wit. Which I love, because it says it's not just like somebody fucking around and telling jokes, right? Like it
right.
really is an art.
Well, and Shakespeare also will play on the word fool meaning an official position and the word fool meaning you're just a dumbass.
That's
and my
right.
and my favorite example of that is in King Lear when Kent is in the stocks being punished and the fool is nearby and Kent has a long speech. The fool has a long speech and Kent says to the fool, where learnt you all this, fool? And the fool responds, not in the stocks, fool.
Yeah, the jester wasn't usually a gentleman. You know what I mean?
No.
Yeah.
So and clowns, generally speaking, are like not terribly intelligent people who are often servants. But not always.
Like the mechanicals, right? Like Bottom and his cohorts in Midsummer Night's Dream. Those are clowns.
Mm-hmm.
Like us laugh.
But there are also other characters who fall into the general category. Before we go on, we should say that when Shakespeare was writing, there were specific actors that he wrote these roles for. Famous comic actors that were known to play comic characters that he tailor-made some of these roles for. The two most famous are probably Will Kemp and who was the fool of the Lord Chamberlain's men early on, and then apparently went off on his own for a solo career, at which point Robert Armin became the leading clown character, And the writing of Shakespeare's clowns significantly changes at a certain point, which is one way that you can tell that Shakespeare actually wrote his works, because you can track it by the career of the people that were in the company.
That's right. Like one of Will Kemp's famous roles is Falstaff, right? And they considered him a successor to the greatest clown of the previous generation, Richard Tarleton, who was said to be Elizabeth's favorite clown.
You know, you touched on something. You mentioned Falstaff. And so I was saving this for later, but I think I'll dive into it right now. A lot of scholars like to talk about the shift from Kemp to Armin, and how the clowns got darker and more serious and more complicated.
And wittier, I think, too.
But the problem with this, and I've always thought this, and I've never read any, I've loved, if anybody out there can recommend a book that treats on this, I would love to know what it is. So who is by far the smartest, wittiest, and best written clown character in the entire canon of Shakespeare?
Falstaff.
Hands down, it's Falstaff, right?
Yeah.
Dark and funny, but more wittier than anyone, more complicated. It's one of the, you know, it's probably one of the five or six greatest characters that Shakespeare ever wrote. And it certainly isn't just a silly clown character. So that really makes a problem for the people that want to say that Will Kemp, you know, was the guy who Shakespeare later makes fun of in the Hamlet speech, right? About comics who mug and saw the air too much with their hands, because Shakespeare apparently wrote the role of Falstaff for fucking Will Kemp.
Yeah.
So,
I think what the difference is that he, you know, Armin kind of took changed the part of the clown of the fool from like the rustic, you know, kind of like tavern bar guy, which Falstaff was, albeit he
wasn't right.
But when do we see him? We don't see him in battle. We see him like fucking around in the bars.
But this is my point. Of course he's a drunk, but he's not, he is the opposite of rustic. He is not only a nobleman, he's incredibly smart. Most of the clown characters are kind of dumb, like Launce. Right.
Yes.
Or a lot. Lancelot Gabo. Right. These, yes. You know, or Dogberry. Right. Or even Nick Bottom. These are not mental giants. Right. That's the complete opposite of Falstaff. There is literally one person in all of Shakespeare that I would be willing to say might be smarter than Falstaff. And that's Hamlet.
Yeah.
Falstaff's intellect, the razor sharp wit that Falstaff has, and the unending conversational genius that he has is completely unlike Dogberry, completely unlike Lance, unlike Bob.
I totally agree with you, but it was considered, when Robert Armin replaced Kemp in The Chamberlain's Men, it was considered they called it like the taming of the clown.
Well,
his new style comedy. Well, like people in the company, people at that time, you know, they said that he brought this new style of comedy, you know, sort of to play a worldly wise fool.
Right. So, but what I'm saying is this, there's a problem here, because that doesn't fit with Will Kemp having played Falstaff. The whole Will Kemp, broad, rubber-faced, like not very substantial, you know, but funny guy, being replaced by the more cerebral, the more grounded Robert Armin, doesn't make sense if Will Kemp was Falstaff. It doesn't make sense. I don't know. I have no idea. And of course, we'll never know. I'm just saying that hypothesis, like I would buy it if it was, you know, like we said, Dogberry and Bottom and all of those characters.
Right.
If Will Kemp had played those characters and there was no Falstaff, and then you see a transition to characters like Feste and the Fool and more, yeah, and maybe Thersites even though Thersites is usually not considered a fool or clown.
No.
But I bet you Robert Armin played that part. I bet you $1 million. But the Falstaff problem remains. It remains because that character is the opposite of some of these other characters.
I can see that. And I mean, you know, Will Kemp took over for Richard Tarleton, who, you know, he was like the first actor to study like actual fools and simpletons.
Mm-hmm.
So he was not the witty ones. You know, he was the Dogberry and the Launce and those types.
Right. Well, we'll never know. I'm just saying that I have always heard that theory, and it's obviously, I'm sure many of our listeners have heard and read all about it too, of the change in Shakespeare's writing of comic characters when Armin took over for Kemp. And I buy it unless Kemp played Falstaff. Listen, how do we know that, I don't know, Hemmings or Condell didn't play Falstaff? They might have. We don't know. Listen, if I were Richard Burbage, yeah, I would have looked at that script and gone, excuse me, Falstaff is by far the best part in this show. Fuck any of the other characters. I know I don't usually play comic roles, but I'm playing this one.
You also have a specific like predilection.
Well, just because I played Falstaff, but you know, this has nothing to do with the fact that I've played Falstaff. I think it's fairly uncontroversial to say that Falstaff is the best part in those plays, and that Falstaff is one of the five or six finest characters that he ever wrote.
I think that's a fair statement. Yeah. Well, that being said, Shakespeare's clowns basically evolved out of the character Vice, which was a comedic tempter in medieval festivals and morality plays, and from the European tradition of wealthy households employing court jesters who would entertain their employers with verbal wit and songs, tricks and wisdom, all of that kind of stuff. So that's where those types of characters come out of. And they appear in 22 out of Shakespeare's plays. They kind of exist. I see if you agree with this, Owen. I think they kind of exist like outside of the rules of the norm, out of the rules of society. They speak directly to the audience. They're, you know, both part of the action on stage and they're commentators on the action. And they kind of live outside of like the social hierarchy of Shakespeare's time. And so because of that, they can speak truthfully to powerful people, right? Like, the stuff that like what the fool said to your example exactly, you know, when he's in the stocks, what the fool says, you know.
I would say that that's probably more true of fools than clowns.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And also, there's the tradition of the Lord of Misrule, which
that's
was
right.
Around Christmas time, you know, part of Christmas celebrations was, basically like opposite day. In turning things on their head and like allowing the jester to become king for a day and to run things and, you know, give out fake, mock punishments and that kind of thing. So yeah, the fool had some license to quote unquote speak truth to power. And although, you know, when the fool tries it in King Lear, Lear threatens him with a whip. So,
yes.
You know, it's not easy to be the fool because you're expected to be funny. But if you overstep, you're still a servant and it could go bad for you.
Did you ever read Christopher Moore has a book called Fool?
Oh, yeah, the graphic novel? I never have, but I understand.
Love
it's great.
It.
Yeah.
It's great. It is Lear from the point of view of the fool. It's awesome. You got it.
Yeah, I do have to read that
it's
book.
It's wonderful.
So why don't we talk about some of the, we can go down the list really and
yeah.
Talk about whether, I mean, some of the people are clear. I mean, I think there are only five actual official fools
yeah.
that appear in Shakespeare, right? Let me see. Tell me if you and I have the same list.
Okay.
Festy from Twelfth Night is clearly Countess Olivia's fool.
Yes.
Touchstone is clearly the court fool at the court of Duke. First Duke Senior and then Duke Frederick and As You Like It.
Yes.
Lear's fool is Lear's fool.
Of course.
Right. Trinculo is specifically mentioned as a jester.
Yes.
And Lavache from All's Well is also clearly the Countess of Resilience fool.
Yes. Yes. I would say that's true. There is a fool in Timon of Athens.
True. True. But that fool in Timon of Athens, I don't know. What do you think about that?
Well, I mean, he's called a fool.
Yeah,
so
he
I think
is.
If Shakespeare named him a fool, we should take that for, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean,
and there's all...
Because, you know, he like makes those parallels between those who go to creditors and those who go to prostitutes. So it is witty.
Yeah. Well, but some of the clowns are witty, too. Right. I mean, sometimes there's a gray area, Falstaff being probably the most notable. And there are also there's also a famous ghost character. Yorick, who doesn't appear on stage because
right.
he's except as a skull, so he does
that's
appear
right.
on stage.
So, yeah.
And he was definitely the licensed fool of the court of the king of Denmark. So
yes.
And he kind of counts.
Yeah. I think he
and definitely counts. A fool rather than a clown.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So what about Autolycus in The Winter's Tale?
Yeah, that's the Autolycus. See, okay, but we should mention that that's one of the plays that there's a character called Clown.
That's right.
So Autolycus is far too he's clever and witty.
Yeah.
He's, you know, so that the clown character, I mean, it varies, right? They're not always dumb. The clown in Winter's Tale isn't so much dumb or stupid as innocent.
Yes.
Naive.
Childlike,
yeah. And so Autolycus, I mean, there's the comic swindler character, and that's really where Autolycus lands for me. It's hard for me to call him a clown because clowns usually are like kind of dumb.
And also not hurtful. Like Autolycus is kind of, you know.
Yeah, well, he's not a good guy.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Autolycus definitely counts as a comic character, mm-hmm. but he's certainly not a fool. And I wouldn't call him a clown, especially since he has, you know, some of his scenes are with the character who is called Clown.
That's right. There's also, as we know, clowns in Othello and Titus Andronicus.
Yeah. Well, of course. And the poor clown in Titus Andronicus is.
Oh, God.
Yeah. It's just an idiot that gets killed.
Yes. Well, and so that's truly is a clown, right? Like there's nothing witty about him. He can't keep himself from getting killed or, you know, caught up in all of that.
Right. I would say that that character falls into the rare talentless ass clown character in Shakespeare.
What about Costard in Love's Labour's Lost? Now, he's referred to as a fool, but I think in that, as you said earlier, it just means he's an idiot.
Yeah, Costard is more of a clown than he's certainly not a jester. I mean, that's the way you can really delineate. Like a fool is a licensed jester, usually.
Yes.
So Costard is not that. And Dogberry, I mean, Dogberry has an official job in Much Ado, but that's clearly a clown character.
Yes. He's not very bright.
The blowhard that, you know, thinks he's smart and is stupid. It's a classic situation.
That's right. And both Dromios and the Comedy of Errors.
Clowns, both of them.
Yep.
Clowns, both of them. And classically, now there's your sort of rustic servant character counts as a clown.
Yeah, you absolutely.
Know. Yeah. There's, you know, you get... Like, I think the clown in Romeo and Juliet is clearly Peter.
I think so, too. And that you can kind of balance out with Cloten in Cymbeline, because it's a comic character. He is kind of a moron, but he's also, you know, like somebody of some rank.
It's a comic villain.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, it's more so than Autolycus, right? Because Autolycus is ultimate, even though he doesn't do great things, it's a different kind of play. So he's ultimately harmless.
Yes.
But Cloten is really, you know, a really bad person.
Yeah.
And could have, could, if he weren't so dumb, he could do a lot of really bad things.
He's really a douchebag, though.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think we covered that on many moons ago on that other episode. but Cloten is certainly clownish. He's got clown to him. But he's too much of a threat, really.
Right, but that's just because he's dumb. He's got the clown because he's dumb.
Yes. And he's genuinely funny.
That's right. Festy, as we said, is absolutely a fool.
Yeah, 100%. 100%.
Mm-hmm.
And Falstaff, just keeping it in the Fs. I mean, again, certainly not a fool in although he does in a way perform a fool like office in that he is, in a way, the jester to Prince Hal. It's just that he's so much more than that. And he's not really a jester, but he's a very
complicated character.
He's an extremely complicated character and not a licensed fool and not really a clown. Just it's one of those characters that any great character like that transcends categorization.
Yeah, absolutely. What about Launce and Speed in Two Gentlemen of Verona?
Clowns.
Yep.
Classic.
Yeah. Even though Speed is witty and clever, he's still a
servant. Yeah, but low class and, you know, Launce is really the kind of prototypical Shakespeare clown.
Well, because he's such a mo.
Right. Well, you know, and his dog pisses on things, so
Exactly, exactly.
yeah.
Grumio in Taming of the Shrew.
A clown.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Lancelot Gobbo in A Merchant of Venice.
Clown. One of my most hated characters in the entire canon. Just a t I hate Lancelot Gobbo. I have never ever seen any. I've never seen any. But I will say, you know what? We'll get to Lavache, and
Yeah.
I've talked about this before. I hate Lavache so much that I wanted to cut him out of the. When I directed All's Well, I actually attempted to cut him entirely, and couldn't for various plot and time, you know, passage of time reasons. But Josh Micio, if you're listening, Josh, thank you again. Was my Lavache, and he was actually funny.
Yes, which you've said so many times. And Lavache is so, like, he's so bitter and he's so dark and he's such a bummer. You know,
It's a
it
weird
is a
fucking
weird
play.
role.
He does get a speech in which he says the word buttock many times.
Well, that's
And
fun.
you know, buttock is a funny word.
It is. Oh, speaking of buttocks, let's go to one of the greatest
And
clowns
who isn't?
in Shakespeare, Nick Bottom.
Yes, well, I mean, that may be Shakespeare's greatest clown.
Yes, yes.
You
Speaking
know.
of buttocks, Bottom, yes.
Yeah. You know, Falstaff is, I think, without a doubt, Shakespeare's greatest comic creation. But Bottom, just for a character who's purely a clown,
Yes.
it doesn't get better than that.
I mean,
He's
he has an ass head. I mean, what else do you need to know?
right. Well, and the whole Pyramus and Thisbe thing
It's
is
so
the
brilliant.
single funniest thing that Shakespeare ever wrote. And you know, it's just an opportunity for somebody with those kind of comic skills to just fucking tear it up.
Yeah.
No, Bottom, the ultimate clown.
Quintessential clown.
Yeah. Dogberry, not far behind.
Not far behind. No. Especially played well. What about Pompey in Measure for Measure? Now, he's the employee of a brothel, but I think he can still be considered a fool because he's clever.
Yeah, you could say that I mean, I think it's stretching a point because he's not, I mean, a jester, you know, to be a jester, you really kind of have to be employed by nobility. You
Yeah,
know what I'm
but I mean,
saying?
he's always a domestic fool. Like, he does
He,
kind of the same
yeah,
job.
he's also, I mean, he also has other jobs. He's a bartender, is his main, he's a bartender and a pimp.
Well, if I've said that once.
You know, I mean, honestly, the best Pompey that I ever saw was in a production at Shakespeare's Globe, and the guy that played him was terrifying.
Oh, wow.
I mean, this guy, he actually managed to be funny too. It was a really, I thought it was a crackerjack production of that very, very hard play. A play that I love, but it's very hard to do right. And the Pompey, they just made a choice that he was just a fucking gangster. And,
Wow.
you know, he was a really scary dude. And he was, but so there was nothing foolish about that particular Pompey, but I see the point.
What about Puck?
What about Puck?
Right? That's an interesting conversation because, you know, there are some that would say Bottom shares the role of the fool in that play, although I think he's a clown. But, you know, Puck is kind of a more traditional because he's like clever and wise,
Well,
and he does, I mean, you know, he
I
does work
well,
for the king.
doesn't he say, correct me if I'm wrong, you've directed that show and how many times have you been in that
Oh my
show?
God.
I've been in it like 5 times, but I've
Yeah.
never directed it.
I've
So I will
directed
yield
it
to you.
twice.
But doesn't he say to the fairy early on about Oberon, I jest to him and make him smile?
Yes.
Well, then you
That's
can call
why the yes.
Then I then in that case, I think we need to add him to the list. I had forgotten about that line.
Yeah.
He is clearly, although they're fairies, so it's a different thing, but
But
clearly
he's still the
he's
fool to
in
a
the
king,
he's
you
the
know.
in the employ
That's right.
of a king. And he does perform many other services other than jester, but you know, he literally says, I jest to him and make him smile. So there you go. So, yeah, I think that we got to put Puck on that list. So it's growing.
That's right. And then there's the fool in King Lear, of course.
Duh,
But
yes.
there's, like, you know, that fool, there's like no parallel for that fool in any of the plays, though, you know?
Oh, are you kidding me? That without that fool, there is no Samuel Beckett. That's all I have to say.
I totally agree.
That fool is out of a Beckett play. And you know, I mean, there are some people that see parallels with Festy, and not least because he, you know, he sings the same song that Festy sings.
Yeah, but it's got such a different energy to it.
Yeah.
You know what
Well,
I
but
mean?
well, and how did yes, and how did Festy get from Illyria to ancient Britain? So it doesn't really make sense.
Yeah.
But you know, there's bitterness sometimes in Festy that can be seen in the fool. I mean, clearly this is a this fool, that mind is gone somewhere. I mean, I don't know how what I it's I'm not a professional, so I can't diagnose what's exactly wrong with that fool, but there's something broken in that person.
Agreed. Jan Cott in Shakespeare, A Contemporary, that book, I found this quote,
Oh,
says,
yeah.
he says, "The fool knows that the only true madness is to recognize the world as rational." I love that.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, the fool says, I mean, one of the most chilling lines in all of Shakespeare is when Lear in rage says, I am not Lear. Who is can tell me who I am? And the fool says, Lear's shadow.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, he sees, right? He sees too much.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I mean, he's kind of a terrifying character,
Yeah.
really,
Yeah.
to be
Yeah.
pitied and feared.
What about the grave diggers in Hamlet? They're clowns.
Clowns, 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 clearly clowns.
The porter in Macbeth also.
Yes. Oh yeah, I would Thersites. I mentioned that before.
Yes, you did.
I mean, clearly that, like, whoever, I mean, it's got to be Robert Armin at that point, I think. And this is what people mean, I think, when they talk about where the writing is different, because Thersites is such a bitter character, such a,
Yeah,
you know, I
so
mean,
dark.
so angry and filled with bile. I mean, you know, and you know, so it's hard to see Will Kemp in that role. On the other hand, how the fuck do we know what they were really like? You know what I'm
That's
saying?
true. I mean, we have
But
no idea.
it does seem to me that, you know, I mean, the person who was playing all of these other roles is likely to have played Thersites,
Yeah,
to me.
yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know.
And Touchstone, and As You Like It, clearly a fool, you
Yes,
know, an
yes. Well,
actual jester. Yeah.
yes. And also super hard to play.
Super hard to play.
God.
Hard to
And
make funny.
we should mention this, right? I mean, these parts are really hard because, you know, comedy doesn't always date well. You know what I mean? It's
Yeah.
like in 100 years, Rod Blagojevich jokes are not gonna land. You know what
No,
I'm saying?
no. And that's
Because
the problem with fools is that they use, you know, stuff that was funny at the time. They make references to stuff that was funny at the time. And if we don't get it, you know, as a modern day audience, how is the actor going to make it funny?
Well, this is what I mean. Like, how is, you know, a Stephen Colbert monologue going to play like 50 years from now when nobody knows who he's talking about?
That's right.
You
That's
know,
right.
comedy is so often about topical references, and that's certainly true in Shakespeare. And, you know, multiply that by the language barrier, and a lot of these clowns are just not funny.
Yeah.
I
Yeah.
mean, anymore. A perfect example, and we didn't talk about Merry Wives. But you have Dr. Caius and Hugh Evans in that show,
Oh yeah.
both of who are clown-ish. I mean,
They're certainly comedic characters.
yeah, I would say Caius is, I mean, he's like, you know, it's the silly Frenchman.
Yes, yes.
I remember when I actually played that part too, and my entire preparation for that part was to watch Pink Panther movies.
Yeah, well,
That
when I
was,
directed
you
that, I
know.
had Hugh Evans played with a lisp just 'cause, you
Yeah,
know.
well,
Yeah.
but the thing is this, like, you have in that play, you have clearly funny Welshman was a thing in
Yes.
Shakespeare's time,
Yes.
right? You can see that in a bunch of plays,
That's
right?
right.
But you know, the funny Frenchman trope has lasted to today, right? I mean, Inspector Clouseau and all of that, right? It's just still funny. So if you took in a silly French accent, it's still funny. But like funny Welshman, nobody gets it anymore.
But because nobody knows what a Welshman fucking sounds like.
Well, and just and because it just hasn't propagated. It hasn't stayed the same over time. So so Dr. Caius is still really playable. And if your cast is poor Hugh Evans, yeah, you got to do something like have a lisp or some goddamn thing because it's hard.
It is hard. We mentioned Trinculo in The Tempest.
Mm-hmm. Another official jester, and and one of the more funny ones, actually.
That's right. And who works for Stefano and the King of Naples?
That's right. That's right. Well, Stefano's the butler. Well, he becomes Stefano, you know, becomes quote unquote king of the island.
Exactly.
And I should I should give a shout out. Josh Micio also played Trinculo for me. It was a little easier for him, I think.
Right. And then the other, the only one which we mentioned before is Yorick and Hamlet, who was, you know, the deceased, quote, fellow of infinite jest, right?
Mm-hmm. And clearly the official jester. Of
like an
court.
Official jester, yes. Yeah.
I mean, there are lots of other comic characters, obviously, all through the can. I mean, what about Sir Andrew?
I mean, I think in as much as Sir Toby is a clown as well, so is Sir Andrew.
Yeah, I mean, but I mean,
they're not like a full on clown because, you know, like they have some rank and all of that kind of stuff, you know, but they are certainly comedic characters and closer to clowns than they would be to fools.
And certainly they're not fools. But Sir Andrew also is such a dumbass that it, you know, it falls into that clownish trope.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And, you know, even Captain Fluellen, speaking of Welsh characters.
Yeah.
Captain Fluellen, it's funny, and again, this is Shakespeare being Shakespeare. There's a clownish aspect to him, but then ultimately, like, it turns and, you know, he's just a kind of a badass soldier. So Shakespeare subverts our expectations with him a little bit.
Yeah.
And Pistol, let's not forget Pistol.
Right, of course.
You know, Pistol has something of the clown about him.
I mean, then you have those other sort of like Poins, you know what I mean? Like they are comedic, but they're not really clowns and they're certainly
well,
not
those
clowns.
Are, you know, Poins and those people are second bananas to Falstaff. Yeah. You know, there's a bunch of those characters in those plays.
Right.
You know, so... I'm trying to think if we've forgotten any major ones. I think we've covered most of them.
Speaking of the Fool and Lear, so I was telling you about this, and I'd like to talk about this, that for centuries, English scholars have been accidentally what sort of re-bracketing words. It's also officially known as meta-analysis, meaning that they would take a word that started with a consonant, and instead of saying like something, it would become an something. So for example, an apron should have actually been a napron. An adder should have been a natter. And there's references to natters in Shakespeare, right?
Mm-hmm,
a
sure.
Newt is an oot, and a nickname is an ickname. So this was actually sent to me as a video by our dear patron and friend of the pod, Jimmy. And I thought that was really interesting because I was always wondering where nuncle came from.
As in nuncle Lear.
Yes. Yes.
Well, there you go.
Isn't that interesting?
Etymology is a fascinating thing.
So incredible. That explains why there's references to like natters in Shakespeare. I was like, why would that be a snake? An adder? I just thought they fucked up, but it's not. It's not. It's Shakespeare scholars as the years went on that fucked up.
Right. Right. Well, who's more likely to fuck up? Shakespeare or the people studying Shakespeare?
Excellent point, my friend. Excellent point. I think we've covered this, but
if we've missed any, please. And if you have any light to shed on the whole Kemp, Armin, Falstaff thing, write to us at www.thebardcastyoudick.com. Oh, that's our website, but you can write to us at thebardcastyoudick@gmail.com. But do visit our website, where you can visit our Patreon page to become patrons of the pod.
Or give us a one-time donation on PayPal.
Or visit our sponsors, our charities, our house charities, Broadway Cares, Equity Fights AIDS, and the Actors Fund.
Yeah, I think that's about it. Owen and I just got off. Owen directed a play, and I was dialect coach for a play, and we just got off like massively, massively busy time. So our brains are a little fried, you
Just
guys.
a little. We did more than usual.
That's
So.
right. But you guys, Owen and I will actually be in the same, we're recording this on a Tuesday. We'll be in the same room on Thursday and Friday of this week. When our podcast drops, we will be in the same room.
Unbelievable.
It's actually very exciting.
It is exciting.
And remember,
It's
it's
Shakespeare,
Shakespeare,
you
you
dick.
dick. Not bad.
Nah. We got to be in this. Maybe we should record it in the same room
I think we
and then
should
just
try it
use
at
it at the
least.
end of the show. No one will ever know, except
No.
they will because I just gave it away.
You just blew it, oh.
As usual.
The preceding podcast was a production of Country Matters LLC, copyright 2022, all rights reserved.